This is an MUT Radio podcast.
The hour right here on MUT Radio. This is the Hangout at Travis Campusini with myself, Umvelo Wakahatebe. I just gave you a beautiful song by you, Mr. Teller, Etsy, Cross Night, right here on the Hangout. Ngitshelile ukuthi on the show today, we are talking about alcohol abuse. And ngitshelile ukuthi so we see nayo guest yethu, which is Dr. Ndlovu, is gonna be who's on the line with us right now. We are speaking about alcohol abuse, everything in je ama health risk associated in alcohol abuse. But before nje ngizengene a little more to dive in, I want to tell you a little bit about ngayeke Dr. Ndlovu ukuthi ubani kahle kahle, because I have to. You have to know ukuthi who is this person that we are talking about today. So Dr. Ndlovu, from me, Dr. S. Ndlovu Medical Center. He is recognized as a top family practitioner by leading physicians of the world with over two decades of experience. He is dedicated to the holistic well-being of all his patients. He is based in Pinetown, KwaZulu-Natal, and he specializes in family medicine with a deep focus in chronic disease management. And beyond the walls of a practice, he is also a speaker who is committed to inspiring and educating others on topics ranging from health and wellness to marriage and entrepreneurship. So that is a little bit of a biography I'm going to tell you about Singayo, Mr. Ndlovu. And I know him because he recently hosted a webinar about understanding the impacts and health risk on society about alcohol abuse at Ibanjiwe on the internet. I think it was last week. But we do have him on the show, and we are talking about yona ke a substance alcohol abuse. Sorry, sengihlanganisa konke. But I'm just gonna quickly welcome him on the show. Hello, Dr. Ndlovu.
Good afternoon, Belo.
Yes, how are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, except this very hot Durban weather.
Yeah, they keep them COVID chaining and pale. So just to get into it again without wasting any time. So today we are speaking about alcohol abuse, and I know it's an important topic since we are approaching a festive season. Number to usually drink very much when it is a festive season. So just to kickstart things off, Unje, can you tell us a little bit more about what is alcohol abuse exactly?
Okay. There's alcohol abuse and there's alcoholism. The two, one does refer to the other. When you talk about alcohol abuse, you're talking about a situation where a person is drinking more than their body can handle or what they should be drinking. For instance, most people would say if you drink a can of beer per day, on average, that a person can handle. Mm. But we know people don't do that, especially us. People of the African continent, we tend to just go all out. People drink to get drunk. So if you drink more than that, then you are beginning to tread on alcohol abuse. And another form of alcohol abuse is that when you don't drink often, but when you do, you drink a lot. I'll make an example. There are people who say they don't even drink on weekends. They don't drink during the week. But when there's a party, then they will drink. It's festive season. People are going to be drinking on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, Boxing Day, whatever day they choose. They'll go to a wedding and they'll drink. That sort of a thing. But during the weekend, on any other normal weekend, they don't. They still are abusing alcohol. If, for instance, you go to drink, I'm just making an example, 4 quarts of beer and a glass of vodka or whatever else that you're drinking. That's alcohol abuse, because you're drinking more than what your body should be handling at that point in time, even though you're not drinking regularly. So that in itself is alcohol abuse. And then, of course, there's alcoholism, where you're an alcoholic now because of this alcohol abuse that you've done at a regular interval. Remember I said the person can drink a cider every day. That's not alcohol abuse, because that doesn't do damage to your body and we are not addicted to it. But when somebody says, okay, every day or every other day, I need a glass or half a glass of vodka, or I need to drink 3 quarts, then they are abusing alcohol there, because they're drinking it almost every day or any other day. That is what we mean by alcohol abuse. Either you drink what they call binge drinking, where it's an occasion, you drink a lot. You don't drink every day, you don't drink regularly, but you drink a lot on that specific occasion. Or you drink quite a bit and you drink regularly. That's alcohol abuse.
That is very enlightening, doctor. So, alcohol abuse usually mean, as I go through the internet, alcohol attacks the liver. So I want us to discuss that. So can you tell us, Uti, how does alcohol affect the different organs in the body?
Okay. We'll start with the liver, as you said. That's the most popular one. And the reason why the liver is the most popular one is that that's the first, or one of the first organs, right, that it goes through. Obviously, it goes through your mouth and down the esophagus. That in itself, if you have ulcers, that's another thing people don't know. If you have ulcers, they could be worsened by alcohol. And it goes past the stomach and the intestine. It gets absorbed. And the first organ that metabolizes it and breaks it down to its individual components is the liver. And that is why the liver gets mainly affected. So there's what we call acute, which means it happens in a matter of hours or days. And there's what we call chronic, the damage that happens over a long period of time. So with acute damage, you can get in the liver what you call acute liver failure. Mm. I think we've seen some videos on social media where somebody was the one to prove they are macho and all of that. They take a whole bottle of whatever vodka or whiskey, whatever spirit, and they just drink it, all of it at once. And then 2 minutes later, they just collapse and die. That's what we call acute liver failure. The liver just failed. It was metabolizing too much, too high an amount of alcohol. So you can get that from the liver. And then there's what you call chronic liver damage, where it happens over a long period of time. It's nice. You're drinking almost every weekend. And by the way, when you say weekend, it's usually 3 days. I always point this out because people don't do the mathematics. When you say, I only drink on weekends, you're drinking Friday, Saturday, Sunday, already out of 7 days, you're drinking 3 days. That's almost roughly 40 to 45% of the week when you are drinking, 40 to 45% of the days of the week. It's worse when you include Pusa test day. That means 4 out of 7 days, and it's above 50%. So we should be careful, this thing of, I only drink on weekends. What do you drink? A bottle of whatever hot stuff that you drink, and then a glass of whatever hot stuff that you drink, and then a couple of bottles. That's alcohol abuse. A lot of people in South Africa actually abuse alcohol. So that could, in a long run, give you what you call liver cirrhosis, where just a scar, many, many, many scars that are forming in your liver. And once it has reached that stage, you get in a situation where we might end up saying, okay, there's no point in you stopping, because the damage is gone beyond reversible. So people should be very careful of that. And the other organ that may be affected, by the way, the liver only doesn't only metabolize, obviously, whatever you drink or whatever you eat, even the medication. So now you have a liver that is busy metabolizing. Those are on chronic medication. It is metabolizing that medication. Now it has an extra job of metabolizing this alcohol. You're busy feeding it. So there's a double job there. Over a period of time, your liver will give in. And then there are other organs. There's an organ called the pancreas. It's not far from the liver. What's the normal function of the pancreas is to secrete hormones. One of the popular ones is insulin that controls sugar. Also, it increases enzymes that are responsible for absorbing your carbohydrates, absorbing your proteins, absorbing your lipids from the food, because your food needs to be absorbed from the stomach into the blood, into the rest of the body. So the pancreas is central to that process. So when you damage the pancreas, once again, you've got two categories. One is acute, where the damage happens now or within a couple of hours. And then there's chronic. Under acute, we do get a situation where you get acute pancreatitis. We normally phrase that situation, we call it the morning after the night before. So you drank the night before and you drank quite a lot, and your pancreas didn't take it well and it became inflamed. So it's red, it's big, it's inflamed, and then you have a problem there of acute pancreatitis. if you have a problem of pancreatitis, acute one, and as such, you find yourself having severe pain in the abdomen. You take any medication that used to help you before, it's not helping because now you've inflamed your pancreas. So that's acute damage. Chronic damage is when you have, over a long period of time, you destroy basically your pancreas. Now you are not able to produce insulin so that you can control your sugar. What does that give you? You end up being diabetic because your sugar now is high, constantly high, because you can't drop it down. You can't use the insulin to control your sugar. So you end up having what you call type 2 diabetes, where you were not born with it. You have no issue with the insulin. You would destroy it through alcohol. Now your pancreas cannot produce it. Now you are diabetic. And the other part on the same one, we said it does help with giving you enzymes that will absorb the food. So what happens? If over a long period of time you can't absorb your food, you're constantly having diarrhea because now you've got sugar that cannot be absorbed into the blood. It stays in the intestines. Sugar tends to absorb water with it. So you're constantly having diarrhea. Now, if the lipids or the fat in your food cannot be absorbed, you get what we call steatorrhea. Typically, a person will tell you they go to the toilet and the stool that they pass is bulky. There's a lot of stool because there's a lot of fat in that stool. And it's offensive, the smell. And it's very difficult to flush because water and oil don't mix. So it's trying to flush, it doesn't flush. Mm. And then we go to other organs. I'm trying to be fast. I'm aware of time. The other organs that are important is that as the liver itself, we said the liver doesn't only just metabolize things. It also assists with production of the hormone called testosterone. So the testosterone is responsible for maintaining a good sexual appetite for men as well as good erection. Also, it's responsible for maintaining the physical features, including you not having breasts, female breasts. So once that is gone, your testicles become small, and now suddenly you have breasts that look like they're of the female. Some might even lose their mustaches and the beard because you can't produce enough testosterone because your liver now cannot assist you with that. The other one is that you find that a person's brain can literally shrink to a smaller size than what it normally is. You find some people that they in the brain, they can get what you call psychosis, when a person just behaves in a way that is out of touch with reality. That's usually in later stages of alcoholism. And you find that the person is forgetful. They just forget. They are moody. They can't control their mood. They cry now. They laugh now. It's just a mess. And the other part with the brain is that you find that your cognitive function, your ability to reason, diminishes because of the shrinking in the size of the brain. So it's quite dangerous. Those are the main ones. I don't want to bore you with too much information, but I just thought we should highlight those. When it comes to the brain as well, the ability to make proper judgment, that's why people find themselves making accidents, even though they are not as drunk as they think they should be. Because over a period of time, they're no longer as easily drunk as maybe when you're starting, but then your brain is not functioning as well, so your judgment is not good. And then some of them will catch what you call delirium tremens, where if you didn't drink, then you start having fits, epileptic fits. So you just collapse and then your body starts shaking and you're biting your tongue and all of that. That can be as a result of severe alcoholism. Let me stop there at the moment.
Yeah, thank you very much, doctor. So just to move on quickly because of time, I want to know if there is a specific group or population that is more vulnerable to the effects of alcohol abuse.
Okay, the young kids is not developed. Okay, let's start with the ones who are in their mother's uterus. You don't want to be pregnant and be drinking alcohol. I don't care how much people convince you that it's just a class, one class a day to relieve stress. Don't do that. Because the child's brain is still developing, not fully developed. Up to the age of 21, the brain is still developing. So before that, you're vulnerable. And we know people at varsities, a lot of them have not reached 21. So their brains are still developing. They shouldn't abuse alcohol. Those are vulnerable. People above 60, because their brain is beginning to deteriorate naturally anyway, as with any other organ in their body. So they are vulnerable. People are on chronic medication, because as I've said, your liver is dealing with medication on a daily basis. Now you're putting alcohol on top. So those are vulnerable groups.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Prof. So another question before we close off. Can substance abuse increase the likelihood of developing chronic diseases? I know maybe you spoke about it, but can it lead to chronic diseases such as a heart attack or heart diseases?
Yes, you can have, we call them, there's one particular, you end up having what you call thiamine deficiency. There's a particular vitamin that people who drink lack, and then it weakens the muscles of your heart. We call that disease beriberi. Beriberi. So you can have your heart being weakened when we call it a cardiomyopathy. Just the walls of your heart, the muscles become weak because of the alcohol, and you end up with heart failure. As we said, you can have chronic hepatitis or liver cirrhosis. Some of them because of poor dietary issues, then they end up with arthritis that they otherwise would not have developed, and other conditions that are associated with poor nutrition.
Yo, thank you very much, Pop. So I've seen people drinking alcohol, but you know, it's only one glass. No, I'm not addicted, or I'm not abusing alcohol. So are there any signs which you can recognize yourself or others which you know, now I'm abusing alcohol?
When alcohol is generally, especially those who use it as a coping mechanism, I used to be laughed at by my friends at varsity because I never really drank. And they thought it was weird. You stay here for 7 years doing all these things. And I realized for them it was a coping mechanism. They are shy and they want to be acceptable. So be careful when you think you can't go to a function or meet people without having, even if it's a smaller drink, you are there. You need to be able to function without it. Don't use it as a thing that get a mushroom, you know, you want to be relaxed and stuff. When you start having to do that, or when you use it almost every weekend, then you know you're on your way there, or already 1 foot is in there.
Mm-hmm. So thank you very much, Prof. Just one last question. So now I've seen what's okay. I have abused utrala, or someone I know is abusing alcohol. Are there any treatment options available for someone who's struggling with substance abuse?
Yes, there are treatments that are available before you even go to rehab. But the rehabs are when you're already in an alcoholic. Then obviously the rehab centers that the government does provide. There are those that work very well. In government, but the social workers would be the best people to advise you on that. From a medical point of view, yes, there are certain medications that we try to assist the liver in recovery in particular, and try and make you desire alcohol less. Yes, there are some medications.
Oh, thank you very much, Prof. So before we let you go, so how can people find you, or can they find it, Dr. S. Ndlovu Medical Center?
We are in Pinetown. There's a huge spa in 24 Josiah Kumet Road. It's basically the spa that is next to Home Affairs. But they can also find us on social media, just the YouTube channel. As you said, we met before. That we are about to upload that webinar. That, you know, there are other topics that we do cover. So if they want to see us on the YouTube channel, we do have a YouTube channel. You just type Dr. Eslov Medical Center. We also have a Facebook page, and we also are on Twitter. So people can follow us on that. And please don't forget to subscribe when you watch our YouTube channel.
Yes, definitely.
It's for free.
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much, Dr. S. Ndlovu. Thank you very much for joining us live on MUT Radio on the Hangouts. We really appreciate it.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.